For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. The Virginia House looks for school safety solutions. The lottery wins big. ICE wants to hurry up in Bowling Green. And Senator Warner wants answers on SVJC. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 12th, 2018.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The House Select Committee on School Safety convened yesterday to discuss violence prevention in Virginia schools. Before the meeting, Democratic leaders argued for a holistic approach to improving education. Richmond delegate Jeff Bourne said safety measures like metal detectors and cameras are tied to infrastructure.
What we see when we have old, dilapidated infrastructure is it's much more difficult and much more expensive to use those things and put those things in place.
Later, the committee heard a presentation comparing Virginia school system practices with other states. Justin Brown, with the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission, said Virginia is viewed as a leader.
So there's some things to do to improve, but big picture compared to other states, we didn't see any major shortcomings in terms of how Virginia is kind of proceeding. So I think that's a, kind of the key takeaway.
The School Safety Committee also discussed school climate, threat assessment, and tip lines as major strategies to prevent violence. A subcommittee on prevention and response protocol meets today. Three subcommittees will develop proposals and present them at the next full meeting in October. Virginia's state-owned lottery program had its best year on record, with profits topping $600 million for the first time. Governor Ralph Northam's office announced yesterday that the state lottery had a record $2.1 billion in sales in fiscal 2018. Officials said lottery players took home $1.3 billion in prizes, and 48 tickets won prizes of $1 million or more. Lottery profits are used to bolster education spending. Virginia State Lottery started in 1988. Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine told reporters yesterday that he has not yet made up his mind on Supreme Court nominee Justice Brett Kavanaugh. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburn reports.
Reacting to reports that some of his Democratic colleagues in the Senate already opposed the nomination, Kaine said,
I don't let anybody call my vote for me.
He says he wants to meet personally with Kavanaugh to ask him about affordable care, abortion, equality, and presidential immunity.
Judge Kavanaugh's written record is voluminous, and I think he is entitled to senators who will carefully review that record.
Kaine and Warner both have said before they want the vote delayed until after the election, and he says he doesn't want to be rushed.
I could see a circumstance where if they try to push it so fast and we really haven't had the chance to do due diligence, then I think a lot of us would vote no for that reason.
Charles Fishburn, WMRA News.
Authorities are identifying the pilot killed Sunday when his helicopter crashed into a Williamsburg apartment building, sparking a fire and killing a resident inside. Virginia State Police say that the medical examiner has identified the pilot as 85-year-old Henry Schwartz of Alexandria. He had taken off from the Williamsburg-Jamestown Airport. An airport spokesman said Schwartz was the president of the Virginia Helicopter Association and was headed home from an association meeting. Police said 91-year-old Jean Lonchok Danilko, who lived in the apartment building, was killed when the helicopter crashed. Identity theft is on the rise in Virginia, which now has a rate of reported crimes higher than the national average. Michael Pope explains why.
In the past 3 years, identity theft complaints in Virginia have increased 26%. That's according to numbers compiled by the Federal Trade Commission, which show Virginia is now above the national average for identity theft. Legal expert Rich Kelsey says the Old Dominion is attractive because it has some of the richest counties in the country.
Virginia is also an internet hub, and it has a lot of online consumers using their credit card, putting their data, putting their financial information out there. So they make for a larger, more ripe target.
Eva Velasquez at the Identity Theft Resource Center says the numbers are an important indication of a problem, but they might also show that Virginia is doing a better job of tracking complaints.
California, Florida, Arizona, for a long time, were sort of shifting around in first place for the number of complaints, but there were more structures in place for that data to get to the Federal Trade Commission.
Recent years have actually seen a decrease in some kinds of identity theft, employment, and tax-related fraud, but they've also seen a steady increase in the most popular kind of identity theft, credit card fraud. I'm Michael Pope.
The Senate yesterday signaled for the first time that it's ready to push back on recent tariffs imposed by the president. Once again, from partner station WCVE, here's Charles Fishburne.
It was an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote, 88-11, aimed at the president's using national security to impose tariffs on U.S. allies, including Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine voted yes.
Would reassert, in my view, some appropriate congressional oversight over use of national security waivers by a president.
The resolution is largely symbolic, directing a conference committee to give Congress a say on tariffs in the final package of the Trade Expansion Act. But it is the first time the Senate has spoken out on Trump's tariffs.
We have deferred and delegated too much power to the executive, and we need to pull some of it back.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement wants to expedite the opening of a detention facility in Virginia. The Freelance Star reported yesterday that a contract with Caroline County asks for the accelerated ramp-up of facilities for federal administrative detainees at the former Pomon-Send Creek Regional Jail. The county has until July 31st to hire staff and make enough repairs to open one 56-bed dorm. ICE asked for five more dorms to open as soon as possible. The contract says ICE will provide more than $1.5 million to help. The facility will house up to 336 men and women not charged with criminal violations, but held to assure their presence for hearings and possible deportation. And finally today, recent national attention to the class action lawsuit filed by unaccompanied immigrant minors detained at the Shenandoah Valley Juvenile Center, or SVJC, near Stanton, has raised the concern of many, including Virginia Senator Mark Warner. He spoke earlier this week with WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz.
I know you have asked a lot of questions and spoken out wanting to get to the bottom of whatever was happening or is happening at SVJC. I wonder if you could just tell me what a couple of your questions are that you wanted answered and describe if you've gotten answers or if you're still waiting for answers.
I read with great concern the reports coming out of this center where immigrant young folks have been held for some time, and some of the reports that indicated that some of these young people had been forcibly detained, stripped and locked into a chair, some people having hoods put over their head, totally inappropriate behavior. The governor launched an investigation. From the state standpoint, from the federal standpoint, this program is run by the Department of Health and Human Services. Senator Kaine and I have asked for investigation as well. At this point, I believe there are 14 of these young immigrant children at the facility. None of these individuals are part of the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy where people were separated at the border, families torn apart. We saw some of those kids actually held in a facility up in Northern Virginia, and the courts have ordered the reuniting of all of those families. These are young people that have been detained and sometimes have been detained because they've had some prior challenges or not performed in other facilities. We just want to make sure that these young folks are being treated appropriately and that there's not some of the at least reports of what would appear to me to be inappropriate behavior. But we've got to get answers. And so far, I don't think the state investigation has gotten answers. And I can tell you, we have not been able to get a clear answer from the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Azar. I had the opportunity during a recent hearing to ask Secretary Azar for a response. He's not gotten back to me. And unfortunately, it shows this administration's, I believe, lackadaisical response towards anything that deals with immigrant children.
So they're not answering your questions. Are you getting a response from the center itself?
Well, we were able to have staff up there, Senator Kaine and Congressman Goodlatte. They had a chance to look at the facility. All but one of the children listed in the lawsuit have been voluntarily deported and are no longer cooperating with the officials. ORR, which is this organization that is that's supposed to be taking care of refugee resettlement has been a bit overwhelmed with the Trump administration's move to this zero-tolerance policy and this influx of separated children. Again, let me make clear that the Stanton facility does not have kids who are there from the so-called zero-tolerance policy, but the overall burdens on ORR to try to meet the court orders, I think, are probably slowing down us getting some of our responses.
What safeguards would you like to see in place at the facility to protect the kids?
Well, I think it's important that the guards have appropriate training. There needs to be discipline, understand, but some of the reports of discipline in terms of stripping someone, having them bound to a chair, left in that chair for hours at end, putting a hood over their head, seem well beyond anything that would even take place at even some of our toughest prisons in terms of appropriate correctional behavior. And again, remember, these are accusations made. The facility has a chance to defend itself. We feel that has to play out as well. And what we want to really hear from is the Health and Human Services Secretary, Secretary Azar. He needs to give us a response.
Do you think housing non-criminal immigrant children in a local juvenile center, detention center, is an acceptable practice?
I think that's a fair question. I think when we built these facilities on a regional basis, they were to house kids from Virginia. Candidly, it's something I think once we get the full answers of what has happened or has not happened in Stanton, I think we do need to step back and say, is it appropriate for these kind of children to be housed in what is otherwise viewed as a regional facility dealing with kids in the valley? You know, but it raises the overall question of why we need immigration reform. I remind folks that the Senate passed broad-based bipartisan immigration reform a few years back that would have strengthened the borders, that would have absolutely allowed those young DACA kids, kids who came here as so-called dreamers, to get a path to citizenship. These were things that the president himself had indicated he would be supportive of. Yet when we had a chance to deal with this issue, he kept changing the goalposts. And I think we're seeing the failure of an immigration policy play out right now in the Shenandoah Valley.
Thank you so much for your time, Senator.
Thank you so much, Christian. Take care.
That was Virginia Senator Mark Warner speaking with WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.